Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you so much for your love. And thank you for your word that you just revealed to us, that you speak to us. And God, we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray you really be our teacher this morning and just bring us into communion with you to understand the relationship and how we can come before you. So we just pray for your hand upon this service. Lord, I pray you'd anoint me with the Spirit that I could just speak words of the Spirit and each heart would be open to receive. So we thank you for this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Title of the message, Pray with Thanksgiving. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And so as we've been going through the book of Luke, looking at Jesus and revealing Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and we're coming to his ministry, and we have a very interesting thing here about characteristic we see about Jesus. Luke 6, verse 12, says this, In these days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And just think about this. Jesus prayed all night. Jesus prayed all night. This is the Son of God in communion with the Father. Now, we just process and think about that for a minute. Okay, this is the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, now we have Jesus spending all night praying to the Father. Just, that's interesting. I mean, you think about it, if Jesus, the Son of God, spent all night praying to the Father, okay, he needed that relationship and it was important to have that prayer. I'm thinking about me. If Jesus needed to stay, pray all night, I'm thinking, you know, I should probably 6 months solid would probably, you know, is what I need. I mean, it's like, it's just almost incomprehensible that what that time must have been like. We even think back where the disciples would see this, and they couldn't figure it out either, and they'd ask him, well, teach us how to pray. I mean, they didn't understand what was going on, and then when they asked that, Jesus kind of gives them a blueprint. He doesn't go word for word, but he gives them a blueprint. But what I want to look at this is that what lessons, okay, we look at Jesus, and as we've looked at Jesus all the way up to this point, we've seen, well, this is what Jesus did, but there were lessons to us, okay? He was showing us him being God incarnate, but he's the perfect man, so he's showing us, giving us lessons on what we should look, move towards. Well, what is he telling us here? What is the lesson revealed here? What is the motivation to spend extended time in prayer? What's the motivation? Now, I just wrote down a few things here of why it would be important to spend extended time in prayer. One thing, it would have to be relational. It have to be relational. Jesus is spending time with God. It's relational, okay? There's something, he wants to do that. You know, it's spending time with a person you love. You may, you know, think about that. Maybe when you first met, you couples, isn't it this extended time with each other? You know, you just love the extended time. Or if somebody's a real good friend, you love the extended time. The reason you want to be with them, because of the relationship. And so, this, you know, you ever talk to somebody and say, gosh, we've talked for 3 hours, and it just flew by. Because it's relational. It's relational. Somebody you like to be with. Well, I think this is no doubt part of this. Jesus, it was relational with the Father. They spoke. The Son and Father communicated to each other. So he said, that would be one reason. Another reason, it would be impactful. Impactful. So as you pray and spend time with the Father, and he's showing you things, you're asking things of him, that it would make an impact. It would make an impact based on that communication or those prayers or something. It would be impactful. It's like, say you're going to redo your house and you met with a carpenter here and says, okay, and you says, I want to talk to you about how to redo this house. So you talk and with him, you know, like that. And he says, can you do it? He said, no, there ain't no way you can do it. You know, you can't do that. And everything said, you can't do it. You said, I'm wasting my time talking to you. There's no impact, right? You probably have some friends like that. Just no impact. Okay. But so when you spend the time with, when the son spends the time, it's impactful. He knows things are going to happen. What he presents and what God tells, the father tells back, it's going to have an impact. So there's learning. There's something that he's going to learn to do. There's something they're communicating. Things are going to happen. It's impactful. Okay. Another thing, it would be insightful. Okay. Different from impactful, but insightful. You just go in, and now you see things like you never saw them before. You ever have someone come and share, you're going through something, they put their arm around you, and they talk to you, say, well, I think this is what's going on, and it clarifies things. You say, oh, wow, that was insightful. That helps me understand, and I can go forward now. I can see what's happening, you know. So you have some insight. Well, you're spending time with the Father. Jesus spent time with the Father. And it's insightful, it's understanding the big picture of what's going on. So there's insight being given here. So you can see this time. There's a dynamic happening here. I don't see it here that Jesus is just here praying and he's got his list. All night, that'd be a big list. All right, all night. Okay, one, just check them off, two, three. And any of us tried to, you know, I've done that before. I had my list, you know, and I pray for. After a while, you know, I'm tired of praying through the list. I know what it is. You know, I'm sure God does. And I said, God, you know what the list is. Just do the list. There's not much relationship in that, like God, do the list. All right, and I don't know if it's impactful because I forgot what's on the list, so I don't know if it happened or not, you know. Certainly don't have any insight because I'm not sure, you know, if I go back what I asked the last time, you know, I'm just talking about myself, all right. So there was something else. There's a dynamic going on, a relationship going on there, and that one could pray, that Jesus would pray all night. Now here's another thing too, and we see this all through Scripture. And it's repeated by Jesus, and it's repeated by the apostles, is that when we come before God, we have an understanding that we are totally dependent on God, and we are totally sufficient in God. So anything that good that happens to us, we submit that God took care of us. We're dependent on him, and we know to be sufficient to do what we have to do. God does it through it. So we're totally dependent and totally sufficient. So there's a recognition in a way, the only way to survive is if God helps us. Have you ever been there? You know, if we get through this, if the Lord's going to do it, then no way we can get through here. We can get to the end. It's not going to happen. So recognition, the only way we'll survive is if God will do it. Now, what's interesting in the Scripture, God actually tells us that he wants us to know that. And then I believe that sometimes he does things with us where we know there's no way to survive, so we'll call upon him. So we have to come to the end of ourselves for one reason and one reason alone, is that we'll call out to God. God, I can't. He goes, finally, now I can. I love this verse, and it says that we're made strong. We're strong in our weaknesses. God shows his strength in our weaknesses. And I was looking, and therefore we glorify God in our weaknesses. And I looked up this one commentary, and he says, what this means is that we relish our weaknesses because we know this is when God works. I'm thinking, now, how many weaknesses do I relish in? Have a bunch of them, but I'm not relishing in none of them, you know. But he said, no, these weaknesses, this impossibilities. Oh, this impossibility, we're just relishing it. Don't you love that word? Relish in this impossibility, because now God will work. It's impossible. And then when he works, who do we give thanks to? Oh, Jesus, I was going down for the third time. Oh, Jesus. Amen? Well, that's what it's saying. So we see this, that Jesus had an understanding, you know, as being God, you know, incarnate, going before the Lord and doing what the Lord said. He knew for him to complete his ministry, that is the only way. So he wanted to spend time with him for all these things, relational, to see the impact, what should be done, to have insight, and showing total dependency and sufficiency from God. That's it. It's like, God can't do this without you. That would drive you to prayer. That would drive you to prayer. It's like, okay, we're done. Drive us to prayer. See? And so God wants us to walk in that mindset, to go to prayer. Now, we have examples of this throughout the scripture, and God keeps telling his people, you come to me, ask me. I love this one in Jeremiah. We have this example in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 33:3, I have a verse up here. Jeremiah 33:3, it says this. The Lord says, this Old Testament, Jeremiah, Old Testament prophet, the Lord says, call to me, and I will answer you. Now, what's important for God to answer you? Call to him, you know? Call to him. The Lord says, call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. How many of you know everything that's going on in this world? You know, I mean, Linda and I have these discussions. We, just between Linda and I, we think the whole world's going nuts. I mean, we do. We just think it's going crazy. We've come up to that conclusion. It's going crazy. The Lord says, no, call on to me. I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things you do not know, because I'm doing stuff. I'm moving with my people. But I know. So we have to come before him so he can tell us. Amen? Now, so when we look at this and we think about this whole time of prayer, here's something we have to examine ourselves. What do we believe? What do we really believe? Do we believe prayer is absolutely essential in the Christian life? Do we believe that? Jesus did, okay? Do we believe it? That's the issue, though, is we believe. Again, Jesus spent all night praying, you know. And I mean, I could spend all night, if I had the gumption to spend all night praying, it'd take me all night just to confess all my sins and get right, all right? I mean, I need 2 nights so I could hit before I could get a request out. See, so Jesus, he's the perfect man, and he is all night with the Lord, all night with the Lord. And I really do believe that Christians, believers, have only scraped the surface of the importance of prayer. We just scraped the surface of it. And so, I don't know if you have been around, I've read different commentaries and different things about it. It says, if you want to ever embarrass a pastor or really make him feel bad, ask him how much time he spends in prayer. You know? If most people, if they're honest, they'd say, gosh, I need to pray more, need more. And for me personally, I have a strong discipline that the Lord just built into me, and I really appreciate it, of spending time in the Word. I spend an inordinate amount of time in the Word, and I like it to do that. I'm motivated to do that. But you say, Wallace, how much do you pray? And I'd be like all the other people, and I'd kick my foot. Well, not near as much as I should, because I know full well. So it's even I'm convicted about, gosh, I need to go before the Lord more. I need to pray more. I need to be before him more. And so everyone is convicted of it. Most people are convicted of it. But so we need to go before the Lord. How much time do we spend with him? But we need to understand, why are we there? The things why Jesus was there. And we have to have an inward motivation to be there ourselves. I've shared this story often with Lena. I have known in my life, my whole Christian life, I've known one couple that I thought prayed like an inordinate amount of time. And they were an incredible couple. Linda and I met them, and we were just, and I've shared this before, but it's worth mentioning again, but Linda and I met them, and they were about 75, 80 at the time, and they'd been, you know, 30 years in the Congo in 1925 as missionaries, and had to be evacuated out there, then as missionaries France, and went to England, and so their whole life, and they just walked around and glowed, you know. They were like, you know, little 100-watt bulbs walking around, you know, little, you know, about this high and just glow. And it was fascinating. And they would say that they prayed 3, 4, 5 hours every morning, you know. And they'd start in the Congo. And they'd tell prayer. And every time they would see me, they'd say, Wallace, I pray for you every day. I thought, wow, Linda, I pray for you every day. I mean, and the kids, I pray for you every day. And I, wow, but every time they met somebody, they said, I pray for you every day. It's like, oh, how they pray when they pray 4 or 5 hours. It's the most incredible couple I ever saw in my life. And one time, and like I said, Linda and I, we had been separated. We just got back together. And so they're coming over, and they're going to have dinner with us, you know. And so we had, it's nice having them over. And they're pleasant. I can't imagine what they thought. Like, these poor dear children, we need to give them 4 hours a day. That had to be what they thought. But I'll never forget, we said, after we finished eating, oh, they wanted to say grace. They said, okay, we'll say grace. We'll say grace, okay, let's hold hands. And they said, we're going to say grace in Swahili. So they sang grace in Swahili. And in prayer, I said, oh, this is cool, you know. And then afterwards, they said, let's pray. We want to pray with you. I said, okay, so we'll pray, you know, bow your head, fold your hands, and, you know, and just, dear God, I mean, pray. And you pray. And they started praying. And it was the most stunning thing that Linda and I had ever seen in her life. And what they did, they just started praying, and they started talking to God. And it was like they knew God better than they knew us. I mean, it was like they just started talking and praying to God. And then they started, what happened in their prayer started intermingling. They started intermingling. And I listened to them, and it's, oh, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for John. And she would say, Smith, he's such a wonderful man. Yes, and his head, Susie, and, you know, and Kelly. But yes, and you remember Paul. They're going back. I'm going, why are they, how are they doing? I mean, it was amazing. They were praying in one mind and one voice. And they just continued to pray up like that. And he would start the sentence, and she would finish it. Or he'd do the subject, and he'd do a modifier. And after a while, I just stopped, and I just stood there. I just sat there and just stared at him. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for being. Oh, it's so big. What a joy to be with Wallace. I'm looking. Me? Well, yeah, I mean, what are you doing? I just want to touch you. You know, maybe, you know, something will run up my arm. I couldn't believe what I heard. So I saw that, and I was just fascinated. But there was someone who loved being in the presence with the Lord, loved praying and believing everything they said was impactful, and they would hear from them. Because they would tell me every once in a while what they heard. Now, so next to Jesus, this is Pastor and Mrs. Milliken. Pastor and Miss Milliken, they've gone to be with the Lord now. So what I want to say here is like, gosh, they're, that's the only person of all the people I've ever met that I thought, I think they're close to getting this down. You know, it's just powerful to them. It was such a, what a ministry that they had. And, you know, and their ministry was, this is fascinating, their ministry was like, well, this guy's got a great ministry, he does this. This guy's got a great ministry, he does this. Woman, this lady's got a great ministry, she does this. They had a great ministry. All they did was just show up. They just showed up. You thought, oh, Lord Jesus showed up with them. I mean, they just showed up, and they had a great ministry, you know. And you just wanted to hear what they said. So here's what I'm thinking that God is saying. Well, there's more to prayer than we're putting onto it. It's more than a list. It's more than a list. Now, so what I want to do this morning, and so when I realize this, I'm looking at the subject of prayer, is like, I'm nowhere near that. I have no understanding. I can go through the scripture and preach on the things of prayer, you know, and I preach about it. Not that I do it, I just preach about it, okay? And I thought, well, that's no good. So what I want to do this morning, I want to personally share some things I'm working through with prayer. So when I say I'm working through it, it doesn't mean I've accomplished it. It means I see it from afar, and I'm working through it and trying to go that direction and let God build it up in me. And So what I'd like to do as I go through this, maybe as I share my journey, it would be encouraging to you as you exercise some of the points in your own journey and how to approach the God in prayer, how to approach God in prayer and the importance of it. Like if it's not motivated from the heart, it's not worth doing. And by the way, you're doing it usually by yourself alone, so it's easy to cheat, all right? So you really got to be motivated to stay with it, to stay with it. So here's some lessons that I've learned where I try to make an application and what I see, and I can see a motivation and to spend time with the Lord and say, you know, I love the Lord, I want to spend time with Him, and I know with my head that all things come through Him, and so this is how I try to step out and get my heart in gear with my head. So the first thing that I see when I look at Scripture, one of the first things that I've seen, and it's this, to pray according to His will, to pray according to God's will. Now look up here at 1 John 5:14. So this is the first thing, kind of a lesson to me that I started seeing over the years and tried to apply. And this one specifically started, you know, stirring in my heart. And it says this, and this is the confidence, okay, now confidence, okay, important word there. This is the confidence we have towards Him, that if we ask anything, now ask what? I mean, come on. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now that thing is God, He said, I hear you. I hear you. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked. Now, I mean, that is like, whoa. Now, this is what the Bible says. Ask anything according to His will. Now, when I looked at this particular section of Scripture, is that if we ask something according to God's will, God's will comes from God's Word, okay? God's will is not something we thought up, okay? It comes from His Word, and His Word, we see it, is His will. And so when we pray according to God's Word, He hears, and God gives what we ask, because we're praying according to His Word, according to His will. Now, here's something for us. There's a word in the Bible, I'll just call it a word in the Bible, that God, and I really believe with all my heart, in the Bible, that read it, God spoke this word to me. I really believe He spoke it to me. And He spoke it to me, and so what I've done is I've received it, and so I pray back that word that He spoke to me to Him. So I pray what God spoke. Now, based on this verse, I'm confident that God's going to answer that prayer. I'm absolutely confident because of what He says. He spoke it. I'm praying back what He spoke. And He says, we know. You're to know. You're to have confidence. And so I believe He's going to bring that prayer to pass. And so I have a real strong confidence in that. Now, sometime before I go home with the Lord, I may tell you about it, right? So, I will tell you. But this is what God told me. So, I have a confidence. Now, why do I share that with you? Because I believe when you read the Word, God's going to speak something to your heart. He's going to speak something to your heart. Then as He speaks it to you, but it's Word. And that's not something, I just want this so bad. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Word of God speaking something to you. Speaking something to you. And when He speaks it to you, and you feel that that specific word, the whole Bible's for us, but this specific word is for you, and you say, okay, God, then you pray that word back, it's going to happen. Now you just persevere. Amen? That's what it is. So look at that. So I think that's true of everybody. Now that's specific, all right? That is specific. Oh, I claim everything in the Bible and I pray. Fine. All right. No, this is a specific. Lord speaks it to you, stir it in your heart, and then you pray that word back. Okay, that's one. That's one, to know that, to be in the Word and see what God is speaking. Now, here's the other one. Now, this is one of the more encompassing, okay? This is the more encompassing. And this is where I, you know, like to reside. I like to reside. pray according to God's grace and mercy. That's a good place to be. Okay, just pray according to God's grace and mercy. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, 16 says this. Let us then with, there's that word again. Let us then with confidence, draw near to the throne. Where's the throne? Heaven. You draw near to the throne in prayer. See, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we might find mercy and find grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Now, when do we pray this? In time of need, all right? It's just like, I don't know if it's you, I don't know. It's just the Lord, just Lord. I mean, you're going on. That's what you just go, Lord. And I want to receive mercy and find grace in this time of need, in time of need. But it says that we will receive mercy and grace in this time of need. So there's, just as we're going through life, stuff's happening all the time. And we go before the Lord. And he said we're to go before the throne and we find mercy and grace. Now, I'm going to give a little different definitions here. Like grace, receive grace, okay? What that means, grace, in this particular case, I mean, it's, you know, God's power and his reflection on our heart. But what is it? Grace is receiving the good we don't deserve. What do I want, God, from you? The good I don't deserve. Okay, that covers it, all right? So I love his prayer. Lord, I want from you the good I don't deserve. And also, you know what mercy is? Mercy is not receiving the punishment we do deserve. So, Lord, I want mercy and not receive the punishment I do deserve. But, God, I want to receive the good that I don't deserve. The mercy, I said that wrong. God, I want to receive the mercy of the punishment I deserve. I want to receive mercy. I don't want to receive the punishment I deserve. I want mercy. Because I deserve punishment, but I want mercy. But also, I want to receive the good. I deserve punishment. I don't deserve good, but I want to receive the good I don't deserve. So what it says, go before the throne to receive mercy. You won't receive the punishment you do deserve, but you receive the good you don't deserve. You won't receive the punishment you do deserve, but you receive the good you don't deserve. Amen? So why this is important, it covers it. How many, I don't know if God's here, and I don't know if he'll do it. I've been so bad, I didn't deserve this. And all that, God goes, that's true. You made a great assessment, Wallace. That is absolutely true of you. But that's the reason you come before the throne. Because you won't receive the punishment you deserve. But you're going to receive the good you don't deserve. Come before the throne, because I'm God. And that's why you need to come to me. Amen? Isn't that a good prayer? So we know in prayer, we just go before him. And it's his goodness. It is his goodness. Therefore, in everything, we boldly go before the throne. And we're grateful, and we give thanks. We give thanks. I'm giving thankful that I'm receiving mercy and not punishment. I'm giving thanks because I'm receiving good, and I don't deserve it. Oh, we just give thanks, and we're grateful. Come before the throne. Come before the throne. Draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Will the Lord help you in a time of need? But you're terrible and you deserve punishment. You get mercy. You're terrible and you don't deserve good. You get grace. You come before the throne, your time of need, and God says, I'll take care of you. Amen? A good prayer, you should be encouraged, shouldn't have any hindrance. It says boldly, come before the throne. No hindrances whatsoever with everything. And then when that's the truth, no matter all the junk going on around us, then we have a confidence before the Lord because of him, not because of us, but because of him. And then we get real excited and we see in Philippians 4:6, our excitement is manifest. It says this, do not be anxious about anything. Oh, gosh, you don't know everything bad's going. No, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Why are we thanking God for it? Because we're receiving mercy. We're receiving grace. We come before the throne receiving mercy and grace, and we're not anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And all God's people said. See, that's powerful, and God wants us to walk in that so that we're not anxious. Now, I'm not going to ask for a hand raise. How many of you been a little anxious? Just a little bit. No, don't. Why? Because of God. See, that's why you're not. It's because of God. And he says, listen, I'm going to give you mercy. I'm going to give you grace. Don't be anxious. Amen? See, that's what he's trying to tell us so that we can be secure in what? In God. In everything. And this is not, and this is the reason I put the first one. It's like, oh, I heard it, saw a specific word, Lord put it in my heart, and I prayed that, and I have confidence. That's cool. I mean, and the Lord will do that. But life comes faster than we can read the Bible. All right? I mean, it comes. And we just go before the throne of God. Well, that's why you need mercy. Grace. That's what I need. Help in time of need. Amen? That's what it says. See, that's where we are. That's what it says. So, yeah, we got these two. Amen. So that's good. On prayer, so it's like, all right. Sometimes the Lord will tell me something specifically, and I hold on to that. But in everything, I'm just going before the throne. I'm not even trying to figure it out. I'm just going before the throne. God, I need help. I just need help. He says to do that. You ever heard people say, well, I don't want to bother God. God says, bother God. He does. He says, bother me. Bother me. And I'll do something if you bother me. Like if you bother me, I'll give you mercy. Okay? If you bother me, I'll give you grace. Now, okay, so there we are. So for me, that's a motivation to anything, anytime, any place, just to cry out to God. And one of the keys to crying out for God is when I'm anxious. It's like, oh, dear God, help. See, that's a motivation right there to being anxious. Just, dear God, help. Dear God, help. Help me in this situation. Now, so we could probably put a period right there and just, you know, and that really is enough for us to personally apply and to move forward in the relationship with the Lord. And to look how relational that is, too. It's like, and he will give mercy and grace in time to help. See, he wants to help. He wants to help. He just says, ask me and I'll help, you know. All right, here's the third one, though. And this one is, this one has been a lesson long in coming, and then I've seen it work out in different situations, and it's been very, very encouraging. And this is this, it says, and it's to pray according to the Holy Spirit's prompting. Pray according to the Holy Spirit's prompting. Look at Ephesians 6:18. 6:18. Says this, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Oh, by the way, I'll put that. Usually when you see prayer and supplication, prayer is like a general prayer. Just it's prayer. A supplication is very specific. Okay, so that's the difference. They're both prayers, but supplication is specific. Okay, it's like, oh God, help me, I'm dying. That's a prayer. Specific. God, I really need you move in this particular situation. That's a supplication. Amen? Little thing. It's good to know. All right. So it says here, Ephesians 6:18, praying all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication supplications for all saints. That saint needs that specific prayer, okay? A supplication. Like praying for someone specific. Oh, God, help them. They're a mess. All right, that's a prayer. But it says supplication. No, God, I can see a need here. I pray for that person specifically. That's a supplication. So it just helps you understand that. But pray according to the Spirit prompting. Now, a lot of people have said, you know, praying in the Spirit. And so what is this praying in the Spirit? Okay, there must be something different than just praying and praying in the Spirit. There needs to be something different, okay? And some people have said that they believe that, like, praying in the Spirit is like praying in tongues. You're praying in tongues, so the Holy Spirit motions you to pray in tongues. And I don't discount that, and I think it's helpful, and it certainly is praying in the Spirit, and God will use that to reveal things, and it's helpful. But I think it's wider than that. I think it's way, way bigger than that. It's praying in the Spirit is praying motivated by the Spirit. And what that means, you're praying prompted by the Spirit. You're praying like you're going along. And some of you have experienced this, and you're like you're prompted to do. You're prompted to pray for something. You ever been like, any of you had kids are probably prompted, you know, to pray, like when you first get up. All right. But no, when you're prompted to pray, there's something within your spirit where somebody comes to mind, or you meet something, and you're something within your spirit, you say, need to pray for them. I need to pray for them. I need to speak. Well, what that is the Holy Spirit, God within you, sees the need in that, and he prompts you to pray for them. See, it's motivated by the Spirit. So you're just walking along, you're talking to somebody, and all of a sudden it's like, pray. And you just like, okay. And you don't have to do it out loud or anything. You might ask a question, may I pray for you? And you can't, but you don't have to. But what you do is you pray. What are you doing? You're bringing God into that situation. He has prompted you. So you're speaking this thing, and you're bringing him into that situation. So we to do that, we would have to what? Be pay attention. We would have to what? Be, what does it say? What does it say? Be alert. See, pay attention. Because I'm going to say something to you, and you pray for those people. May not do that, but you pray because I'm going to move, and I need you to pray for them. So, here you have praying in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, general prayer, specific prayer, and just be alert and persevere, and you pray for those people because the Spirit motivated you. Something motivated you to pray, okay? And the praying, when the Spirit speaks to you like that, it's like, and here's two words that would help you to understand when a prompting from other kind of prayer. It would be immediate and direct. Immediate and direct. Like you talk to somebody, it's immediate, it's direct. So you go, oh. Oh, and then you pray. But that's another aspect of prayer. And as I've tried to learn to cultivate that, I'm actually paying more attention, which was probably the biggest issue, and then you pray. Or have you ever had the thing you need to pray, you don't, and you walk off, and you look back, and you see you should have. You say, oh, I should have known. God goes, you did know, but you didn't. You see, and so you can say, okay, I need to really pay attention to that. Now, why are we paying attention? We're paying attention to what the Lord is doing, walking with him in relationship, and when he stirs in us, we pray for something. We're really alert and paying attention to other people. Amen? So that's a good, so praying in the Spirit, and I think that's really important for us to remember that and be conscious of that. Prayer. And again, the point of this is that God is doing something, and he's bringing us in line with what he's doing. He moves in us, and we're asking him to be in line in what we see. You know, like if we're saying, God, I want mercy and grace. All of a sudden, we're in line with God, and he starts moving. He's going to show us things. He's going to communicate things to us, and so all of a sudden, we're in connection, you see? Prompted by the Spirit. We're in connection. We're alert. So this is being aware. See how relational prayer is. Prayer is not a list. It's just not a list. It's not. Because God really does know what's on the list. I mean, so. Okay. And now here's the other one. Now I'm going to wrap up with this one. And And this is, and again, while we're talking about prayer, and I'm saying this is what I work through. This is the things that I'm working through to help me that I would have a focus, that I would actually pray for things like in the morning, when typically when I pray, that I have that focus, like God told me to do that. I need to pray about this. And a bunch of stuff I need grace and mercy on. I pray about that, you know. And the things, anything the Lord brings up, prompted by the Spirit. I've heard this too. I'll pay this. People say, oh, I'm starting to pray. And all these things come to mind and interfere with my prayer. And I found out a lot of the stuff that comes to me and interferes with my prayer is what God is trying to tell me to pray about. See, God is interfering with my prayers. You know, I've got my list, and he's interfering with my list. See, the thing of this is he starts speaking. So I'll take a piece of paper, something, I'll just jot it down, and I'll pray. Okay, I'll pray for that. See, it's a relation. It's a dynamic. It's a dynamic that you're being in step with God, because he's moving. The creator of the universe is moving and having things happen all around you. Amen? Now, okay, so we could quit there. But here's another one I got to throw in here. And it's like, pray according to obedience. You say, well, it's fine, the first three. But why? You know, God knows everything. Here's a great, because he told you to. He told you to. You tell the kids, clean up your room. Why? I told you to. You know, so we can do it like that. And if you don't, there's consequence. God says, while we pray, I told you to. You need to pray. You need to pray. That is a motivation. God just told you to. And if you look at here, so pray according to obedience. And look at Colossians 4:2. You look at these words. These words are incredible. Either one of these words would have been good. Okay, continue steadfastly in prayer. Either one of them been good, but use both of them together. Like, continue in prayer. Be steadfast in prayer. No, it's continue steadfastly in prayer. Gosh, and do it often or something. But he doesn't quit there. So what he's just saying, continue in prayer steadfast. Well, I'm not prompted. Well, I didn't see anything that really spoke to me. And I don't feel a great need for mercy. So I don't think. Pray. You might see something else. See, he's telling you, just do it. Just do it. The old Nike commercial. Just do it. Why? I said to. So continue steadfastly in prayer. Continue. And then being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Now, what I think this means, continually steadfastly in prayer. So we're going with God. We're just going to him. We're just putting stuff out there, all right? All the stuff, motivated, what he's told us, our needs, grace, we're just doing that. And he says, then be watchful. Now, what I think means, he says, because you pray, something's going to happen. Because you've just connected with the God of the universe who spoke the word and created all things. Just spoke it. Whoa, everything came into being. And you're praying to him. You're going before the throne, constantly, steadfastly praying. Watch. With thanksgiving. So something's gonna happen. Something's gonna happen. But I can't see anything. Who said you needed to see it? Something going to happen. It's happening. Pay attention. Things happen. So, well, you don't know if they're offshoots for your prayer that they're happening. It's like a ping pong ball. You bounce it over there, bounce it, and it ends up over here. And say, well, how'd that prayer come? Because you started it over there, and it was necessary to finally get over here, and you see this come. But that wasn't in connection with what I prayed. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Pray. Watch. Pay attention. And don't look at your life like it's an accident. Don't look at your life like it's an accident. Oh, God, I'm here. God never knew what I was going to do. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, you're right. You didn't know nothing, but I knew everything. And if you come before me, you'd have a better idea. And just pray. You know I'm working all these things for good, for your benefit and everybody else's benefit. Amen? So just do it. See, God told us to pray. He told us to pray for our government officials. That's what he said. Pray for government officials. And he says, you pray for government officials so you may lead a peaceful life. Okay, you ought to pray for government officials. Well, he didn't really speak that to me. I don't feel prompted, and I don't particularly need that grace. No, he said it. Be obedient. And if you pray for a government official and say about 4 million other Christians pray for that government official, man, that's like 400 Christians agreeing on something. Something might happen. You see what I'm saying? So you do it. You know, someone comes up and says, would you pray for me? And you go, I don't have a word. I don't have an understanding. I don't even know where you're come from. I don't know if you have a legitimate prayer. I don't know. Let me go pray about praying for you. You know, no, you pray for that individual, God, because that's what you do. You're obedient. God said, I told you. Maybe he didn't tell you something, but he told them something. He told them something. You just pray. He said, come to Wallace and pray. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't have a word. Oh, jeez. I'm going to send him to Brian next time at this. You're worthless. What I'm saying, you're obedient. And then you pray on every occasion. Pray on every occasion. Amen? So here's the whole thing. A prayer is to look at it in a whole different. How has God got you in the world? I'm not going to say this. I was going to tell you throw your list away, but I don't want to say that. Keep your list. But there has to be a relationship. There has to be a dynamic with you and God that you're motivated and you want to, and there's relationship, insightful. There's connection, see? And that's what makes it dynamic and powerful. Dynamic and powerful. Just do it. Now, I'm going to end with this. Huge question. How can we be confident that God would answer our prayers? How can, and he told us, I read a whole bunch of stuff in Scripture. How can we be confident, though? How can we be absolutely confident that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, how can we be confident? How can you be absolutely confident before God he's going to answer your prayer? Okay? Listen to this verse. How many of you, now this is, I'm playing with you a little bit. How many of you believe the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid the penalty for your sins? Amen? Okay. Now I'm going to see if that's true. I'm going to see if it's really true, if you really believe that. See? Listen to this. Because if you believe that, you're going to believe he answers your prayer. And if you don't believe he answers your prayer, you don't believe he died for you on the cross. Listen to this. I'm going to challenge you, okay? Look at Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Who's that? God gave Jesus. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? How can him who died for us and gave us his son so that we have a home in heaven, we're forgiven, how will he not give us all things? How will he not answer our prayers? It's inconsistent. It's inconsistent to believe that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins and not believe he'll answer our prayer. It's inconsistent. If we don't believe he answers our prayers, we really don't believe he paid the penalty for our sins. I mean, we're as healthy as we can be skating through life. Yes, Jesus loves me. I'm going to heaven, you know. When you're on your deathbed and you're going to be, and you say, you just got a matter of moments, let the family come in and say hello. And you say, oh, Lord, I'm not so sure about this whole thing. Oh, my gosh, you know, something's going to happen. And I've seen some believers on their deathbed that are scared flat to death. See? Because it came a reality. It's reality. If we're just floating, my sins are forgiven, you know. Maybe it's reality. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But if it's reality, then we're going to believe he'll answer our prayers. Amen? I mean, it's the same book. It's the same book. Amen? If we believe he died on the cross for us, then we believe he'll graciously give us all things. He goes, just ask. Just ask. I'll do it. I'll give you grace and mercy. Just ask. And it's based on our salvation. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, that should be make us excited. Make us excited about we can pray. Oh, wow. We'll spend time with you. Oh, man. All graciously. I mean, look at those words. Look at the word. Graciously. Graciously give us how many things? Look, we're in such a great position. We're in such a great position. And God is saying, I'm doing stuff. You need to be in connection with me. All right? And he says, he's given us some parameters, but he's speaking to us. He's speaking to us. Now, good news. Here's the good news. We receive grace, mercy, forgiveness from God. Therefore, God hears our prayers and answers us. How do we know God answers us? Because, next verse, John 3:16. This is how we know God answers our prayers. This verse. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And God says, if I did that, won't I graciously give you all things? Won't I answer your prayers? That's what it says. Amen? It's a relationship. It's a relationship. And that's how we have to go to prayer, is a relationship. You know, interaction. By the way, you ever been to somebody and you did all the talking and didn't say anything? Was that a relationship? Or even worse, they did all the talking, you didn't say anything. See, that's no relationship. Relationship, you're going up, you're interacting. We have a relationship with God. There's an interaction. See, God will speak back to us. He will reveal back to us. We have a back and forth, and we're to walk with a back and forth. Amen? That's how it works. How do we know what God's thinking? What does the Bible say? Amen. Hallelujah. So then we're excited. Pray. It's a relationship. God said, oh, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I'll do great and mighty things. I just want to hear from you. Again, I'll go back. What did he say in Jeremiah? The Lord says, call to me. I will answer you. And will tell you great and hidden things. Call to me. I'll answer you. Amen. It's relational. Amen. I think we should stand and praise Jesus. And that is that relational. That we can talk to him. He's going to talk to us. There's an interaction. There's a relationship going on. There's a dynamic. Now, by the way, I want to share this. I'm getting ready to sing. This doesn't mean everything's going to go just right. All right? If the Bible says, surely in this world you will suffer. Okay, that's also in the Bible. But we know that God's hand is over it and he takes us through these things. And we see him around it. We don't become just despondent. We know he's around it. So even in suffering, okay, we move forward because in that relationship, we're the center of his desire. We go through stuff, but he says, just call on me. I'll tell you what's going on. And just persevere with me. Persevere with me. I got this on the other end. I got this on the other end. Persevere. And honestly, I really believe this with my whole heart. God will let things happen in our life to get our attention so he can work. Amen. And then we can relish in our weakness. It's like, I've got plenty of weaknesses. I just need to work on relishing in them. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for, God, we thank you that you love us. You just love us, and we thank you for that. And so, Lord, just teach us. You be our teacher, God, and we give all things to you. And have our hearts and minds open to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.